You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Wednesday. We are back with the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. I have decided that today, the last day of the month, the last day of September, we are going to cheat. That's right, I'm cheating today. You'll hear a little bit from me, but not much, because we talked to Don Brown today. He had so much to say. I'm just going to give a lot of it to you. Not everything, because he talked for over 40 minutes. We have a show that's supposed to be 30 minutes or less, except for Thursdays. We obviously break that rule every single Thursday, but I want to hear from Don Brown. And if I can get a couple words in edgewise, I'll do that. But you'll hear plenty from him. First, I got to tell you that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off of your next order. So we'll talk about some of the things that I wrote about, which are the things I found most interesting coming out of Don Brown's press conference today. So let's get to it. The first thing I want to get to is what he sees. And this is going to take a long time. Actually, you know what? We're going to do it in segment two because it's going to take a long time. First, I'm going to get to the question I asked, which is, what freshmen are making an early impact in your eyes? Now, I do want to note that it doesn't have everybody that he talked about, because he talked about other players. He talked at length about Makari Page, who's really impressing him the most. He mentioned a couple others he hasn't mentioned here, like William Mohan. He mentioned Jalen Harrell as being in the Sam linebacker area there. He mentioned, I think that's about it, Iman Dennis at cornerback as well. But aside from that, here's the guys that Don Brown anticipates could and should be in rotation.
I'll give you a name that I'm kind of excited about. This Makari Page is playing at a high level. And he's a young man that, you know, we feel, you know, he can jump in there and help us in early stages for sure. So that was, you can never predict that until you're out there on the practice field and guys are kind of going through the paces. But this guy has, you know, he's a safety all the way. Tremendous length. I'm going to be conservative and say he's 6'2", but I think he's taller than that. He really plays well over the slot. But we have a number of guys playing pretty well over the slots, and the good thing, you know, we have good young receivers, so we're getting challenged every day. So it's nice to be able to get, you know, a good look at our guys in terms of competitive situations. So we really feel good about where we're at there. And
you've already mentioned a couple of them, but what's your assessment so far of the true freshmen, and who's really stood out in your mind?
It's so hard when you start, saying, this freshman and that freshman, and then you forget a guy. But, I think the guys, that have really stood out, starting at the linebacker position, Kalel Mullings. He's 6'2.5". He's 241 pounds, and he's 17 years old playing the Michael linebacker position. He can run now. Nakai Hill Green plays the Will next door to him. They both were in my office. Just they love football. They love being around it. I just see sky's the limit for those guys. Cornell Wheeler from West Bloom is another young guy. Has lost some time, but is back now. So, and obviously we need to see more out of Cornell, but I think he's got real ability as well. RJ Moten at safety, I think he'll be a very good player. I'm not sure he's in the right position exactly yet. We're trying to figure that out. And there's really a lot of good players. Seldon is a good player. We're playing him at nickel, but he missed a little bit of time as well. So, you know, those guys are good players now. Chris Jenkins is a defensive lineman from Good Counsel. His dad played in the NFL for a very long time. He's got tremendous upside as well. You know, we're happy with him. And I'm just kind of whipping around in my head here. And I know I'm going to miss some significant guys on you, but we're very happy with that freshman class overall. High character, really good football players, and you know, guys that can, you know, that can really help us.
I obviously forgot to mention Cornell Wheeler. I forgot to mention Chris Jenkins, but me, those are, you know, a bunch of guys that he had mentioned, and I can't read. I know I just listened to it, and I also wrote about it. I can't read my own writing to tell you what the final one is there. Moten? Yeah, RJ Moten. So there's a lot to work with as far as true freshmen who very well could play. And the other thing that he said was that, listen, we're going to play as many people as we possibly can, because, you know, Harbaugh said, prepare everybody, because with COVID and everything, I mean, there's a 21-day hold. If you test positive, you're out for 21 days regardless. So they have to have everybody ready. They have to make sure that everyone is good to go. So it's, I think that that's, we're going to see a lot of others, especially because no one loses a year. You can play guys 5-6 games. Doesn't have to be four. Granted, it's a 9-game schedule plus a bowl game, assumedly. But you can play a lot of these guys. So I'm really interested to see who of the ones he mentioned are guys that are going to get in. But he had a lot to say there. All right, let's continue, though, here on the other end. Next, we're going to hear just a full breakdown, every position at on the defense. Don Brown was asked about the corners and then who the starting 11 would be, and he obviously didn't just, you know, he didn't just stop at here's 11 guys. He said, here's who's contending at Sam, who's contending at Will, here's contending at Viper, line, you know, all the linebackers, entire defensive line, safeties, all of that stuff. So we'll hear from that in a moment. Before we do, I obviously got to tell you more about Built Bar. BuiltBar.com, amazing protein bars, low calorie, low carb, low sugar, high protein, and amazing flavors. I know that today they have, I think it's like a pumpkin pie chocolate chip. They said it's going to sell out today. I think I'm going to jump on that, a box of those. Because, I mean, everything they put out that I've had, I've loved. Whether it be the almond coconut or the, they had like a, I can't remember what it was exactly, like a hazelnut caramel, something like that. I don't think they have it anymore. Listen, everyone went nuts when they sold out, but they're back. They're better than ever. And they have so many amazing products outside of the protein bars. Well, you'll hear about Built Go soon. Just a lot to really like about what Built Bar brings to the table. Go to BuiltBar.com, put in promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off of your next order. I mean, it's a deal you just can't beat for a product that I truly believe in. All right, so without further ado, and we're going to hear Don Brown talk specifically about two more things in the final segment, Daxton Hill and playing against high-powered offenses. We're not going to have a lot of time in segment three to talk about things. We're just mostly going to listen. But let's get to the full, thorough defensive breakdown that Don Brown had. I mean, I it was really, really thorough. So these are the guys that you can pretty much expect to be playing on the field, except for I don't have the part where he talked about Vincent Gray. And Vincent Gray is basically your one starter at corner. And then that's the ones he mentions are guys contending for the other position. Okay, let's go.
Wanted to ask about the open cornerback position you got with Ambry leaving and how you plan to fill that.
Well, we got a number of guys that we're looking at there. DJ Turner, Jalen Perry, probably are the two, I would say, guys that are the closest. But again, we really don't want to shut anybody out because we still have, three solid weeks of work prior to the game week. So in essence, it's almost like, you're beginning preseason camp. So, crazy things happen in that period of time. We've also been happy with Keyshawn and Iman Dennis can really fly and run raw at the position, but we expect big things out of this group for sure. We utilize Dax as the nickel as well, so we're trying to take advantage of multiple guys' abilities for sure.
Our next question is from Orion.
Hey, Don. Thanks for doing this. Obviously, you guys haven't put on full pads yet, but I wanted to get a sense of who the best 11 have been in your eyes so far.
At my linebacker position, I would say there's a pretty good battle going on at the Viper position between Michael Barrett and Anthony Solomon. So we feel good about both of those guys' ability, their ability to run, cover, straight line, blitz. But we also have Mohan, who's his nickname Apache, and he's really got great straight line pressure ability, and has a knack for it as well. So, those three guys for sure. And then at the Sam position, the guy that's probably been one of the biggest surprises for us in camp has been Ben Van Summering. He's 250 plus pounds. He runs 4.6. And he doesn't just do that on the clock. Some guys run fast on the clock. And that's great, but it really doesn't care. You really don't care in a football game if a guy, what his clock time is, unless it translates to the field and he will run and hit you. So that we already know. We don't have to put shoulder pads on. We don't have to hit anybody in terms of tackling. He runs and hits all over the field. So we're happy with his progress. I mean, he's still got a ways to go and needs every bit of this preparation time to maximize his ability. But we're happy with him. David Ojabo's getting some really good work there. And freshman Jalen Harrell as well. So, we've got a number of guys working at that position. But I would say Ben's probably slightly ahead of the leader in the clubhouse. The Mike backer position is Cam McGrone, and he's kind of picked up where he left off. We're very happy with his play, his performance, and his he's really learned the defense. I mean, he really knows what we're doing. And knows what everybody else is doing as well. Josh Ross, unquestionable leader and playing at a very, very high level. And, we've got some young guys behind him with Adam Shibley and Faki, but we also feel good about about Nakai Hill Green at Will and Kalel Mullings at Mike. So, you know, we feel like we're going to be in good shape there. Pretty excited about that group. Up front, you know, it's Aiden Hutchinson, it's Quiddy Pay. I would pick out two guys that I think have made the biggest improvement as football players on our defensive line is Julian Weisskopf and Taylor Upshaw. Those two guys are playing. Now, Taylor's much bigger. Like, he didn't even have a butt a year ago. Now he's got a butt. He's big, but he's still fast and strong, powerful. So really happy with the way he's playing. Donovan Jeter is playing better than I ever anticipated he could play. He has exceeded all expectations, and he and Carlo Kemp have given us, you know, solid play inside. Jesse Spate, you know, doing a really good job. But those guys in that grouping have made significant improvements. You know, we're probably 8 to 9 deep there. And last year, where we counted on playing, you know, a lot more of our three down package stuff, which we desperately needed to, due to the abilities of Uche and, you know, our lack of you know, total depth numbers at the defensive line. But we're excited about how those guys are coming, for sure. But, you know, when you can say Aiden Hutchinson on one side, Quiddy Pay on the other, Donovan Jeter, oh, and Christopher Hinton's playing great. So that's the guy I got left out. I hate doing this because you just don't want to leave a guy out. But Christopher Hinton's doing a really good job as well. And, you know, we're really happy up front. On the back end, Brad Hawkins is Brad Hawkins and plays really well. Daxton Hill's Daxton Hill. We think he has, you know, high ceiling. Has not reached that ceiling in terms of potential turned into every down performance, but he is certainly going in the right direction. Sammy Faustin has improved dramatically. At the corner position, Jamon Green also joins DJ Turner and Jalen Perry there as, you know, high-level players. So, you know, we've still got some questions to answer. And to be quite honest with you, competition, as you know, breeds success, keeps everybody practicing the right way. And, you know, we still have, you know, some significant practice time in front of us before we make any decisions.
All right, there you go. Full defensive breakdown. Don't have time for me to give you my thoughts. Like I said, I'm not being lazy because I've already done a ton of work. So I'm less being lazy and more just, I'm giving you the information. But yeah, anyway, we got another 10 minutes to listen to. We're probably going to go over 30 because I do want to at least say a couple things, but we'll do that on the other end. All right, two more things that I want to hear Don Brown talk about. First is probably the most important, and that's him talking about playing against high-powered offenses, playing against Ohio State, the response to Ryan Day saying he wants to put 100 on Michigan when they play. I thought he had a perfect response. And, of course, there's still – I see, like, in the comments to the story and the tweets and all of that stuff, there's a backlash on social media because, of course – but for those who are more of the do more, say less crowd, which I kind of abhor, because it's like you don't understand how media availabilities work, this is like exactly what he should say. But I see people complaining, he said that last year and whatever. No, he said different. This isn't exactly the same. So take a listen, and hopefully you like what he said, because I did.
I don't know how much you watched the first couple of weeks of the college football season, especially the SEC this past weekend, but points galore, offenses wide open.
Don't be telling me that.
Don't
be telling me that.
Well, it seems even more so. It's the highest scoring first couple of weeks ever, I think, in college football. Do you feel with your scheme, do you have the athletes, the experience, and the depth, do you think, to keep up with those type of offenses, which has been a hiccup at times over the past couple of years?
Well, we're working at it. I can tell you that we've done a good job, I think, of evaluating our strengths and, implementing them, but also, tweaking our coverage base, what we're doing there, but really tweaking our pressures, our non-pressures, where people are coming from. Obviously that's a big deal, and that's what you got to do on a year-to-year basis. It's not like, for example, 2016, we're number one in the country in defense. It's not like in 17 we didn't make changes. But obviously, going from 19 to 20, our strengths on our defense are in a little bit of different places. So we've got plenty of strengths. And I think we're doing that, and I think that's what's most important, is play to your own players' strengths. And the guys that, that you think can make plays for you. And, obviously, don't be afraid to compete against anybody in the country.
And if I could ask a quick follow-up, obviously you draw inspiration from all sorts of things, and certainly you've talked about the Ohio State games. I don't know if you saw the report that Ryan Day said he wanted to play this year so he could hang 100 on Michigan. And if stuff like that resonates with you, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, we get ready to play against them every day. We're running plays. We're seeing concepts. And we got a lot of work to do. So I'm just keep my mouth shut and go to work every day. That's what I do. And that's what I'm going to do.
Like I said, I think that was a perfect response. It's exactly what you want to hear. We're working on them. We're doing something every day. Not gonna get into any more of it. We're just gonna let the work show itself. Perfect. And it's perfect because they are working on them every day, now, early. Because I know for a fact that's not what happened before. Maybe it happened last year, but it clearly didn't work then. But this is the mentality they need to have. All right, finishing us out, one of the hot topics today was Daxton Hill. You're gonna hear about 6 minutes of him talking about Daxton Hill. He talked more than that about Daxton. I thought, obviously, really good question from Sam Webb. But there was a lot to discuss when it came to Daxton Hill and the role he can play on offense. It's going to be a little bit more multiple than just him lining up next to Brad Hawkins deep in the field.
I wanted to follow up with you about Dax. You mentioned that he's still kind of in that process of translating his potential into production. What's the next step for him there, and where do you see him fitting in terms of his ability to play safety, nickel, corner, all that stuff?
He can fit in anywhere he wants to fit in. That's how talented this guy is. Obviously, we're doing, he's a safety by trade, but he's a nickel by trade as well. And really, that was his get-on-the-field role last year was – through the ability to get into the extra DB packages, which we do quite a bit. So, and then at the end of the year, obviously you had to shift gears and, make the transition to being one of the full-time safeties. I mean, he's way more accomplished in terms of understanding concept and knowing what to do as an every down safety. But, you know, this guy can play anywhere. I mean, if we had any problems at all, you know, he could bump outside, you know, due to injury, or, you know, he can play anywhere in the back end, and is much more comfortable schematically. And how do you tell if a guy is more comfortable schematically? He plays faster on his feet, primarily pre-snap. In other words, there's not a lot of indecision about what's my alignment, who do I align on, what is my responsibility. I mean, he's just lining up, playing football. And, you know, usually all those things, like I always tell the guys, 66% of football occurs pre-snap. And, you know, obviously that's an area that he – you know, we put him in there as a true freshman, and we were going to live and die with him, and he had veterans around him. Now he's got to take some of that leadership role along with Brad Hawkins, and, you know, who's done a really good job. Sammy Faustin's done a good job. So, you know, we feel like we're much more accomplished on the back end for sure. But, you know, he's a talented guy. I'm not sure he isn't the best cover guy in the Big Ten, to be honest with you.
I remember, it's a kind of a thought process question. I remember asking you a little while ago about a dude you discovered back at UConn named Obi Melanfanwu, who was a super explosive, versatile guy, safety, linebacker. You could bring him off the edge. You had Jabril here. You know, you look at a guy like Dax now to get back to him. Talk to Jim, and he mentioned what you did, the great expectations, safety, nickel, corner. He said he expects him to be a great player at any and all of those spots. So when you have a guy like that, how do you – what goes into deciding where he plays? Is it a best 11 proposition and your strengths and weaknesses elsewhere? Is it opponent-specific? What goes into where you play a guy like that who could excel at multiple positions?
Well, Sam, that's a great question. I'll tell you, Obi Melifama, one little quick, you know how I recruited him? He walked into the gym. I was standing there with the high school football coach. He picked the ball up, and from 2 feet standing on the ground, did a 360 dunk, and I told him, we're good. So that's a quick story there. But it's all of those things. But it's funny, you know, the thing that we've been able to do with our three down, two down, all that, is be able to find guys with, you know, unique traits and then let them do it. You know, like Josh Uche, for example, is a very, very good pass rusher. He can blitz internally. He could rush the edge, but you also had to be very specific as to where he could play. And then we gave him about 20 jobs a game that he had to do differently. So you got to try to take what the man is a lead at, for example, rushing the passer, and let him do that. With Dax, he can cover the slots. Let him do it. He can rush the edge. Let him do it. Is he a good internal blitzer? You know, he can. But, you know, the guy can cover. And it's funny. Some guys are just always around the ball, no matter if they know what they're doing or not. He was one of those guys. Like, oh, the ball's over there, and there's Daxton. So, you know, even when he was going through the learning curve and we were kind of, you know, taking him through that, he was always around the ball. And if you ask me what he was elite at, he was always around the ball. So, and boy, he can run. He's, you know, some guys, they run hard and fast and all that, and you go, boy, is he working hard. Sometimes you wonder if he's working hard. Now, of course, he's working hard, but he makes everything look easy. So, You know, we all wish we had those traits, right?
I feel like people forget about Daxton Hill. I could be wrong, but I just feel like normally you have a five-star guy, a guy that you stole away from Alabama. And granted, he was committed to Michigan, flipped back, all that. It seems like people kind of forget about Daxton and just feel like, well, the defense is whatever. There's some playmakers there now. That's all the time we've got. Get your questions in for the mailbag, which will come tomorrow, Thursday, as it always does. Question is already up on my Twitter account, @IsaiahHole. Find it there. I'll also be, before we get to the mailbag, you can catch me tomorrow on Locked On Big Ten. So look forward to that. But we are out of time today. Thanks for listening. As always, appreciate you checking out Locked On Wolverines, talking a little Michigan football. I hope some of you are getting more hyped. I was reading on Reddit. People aren't excited. I can see that in my page numbers. People aren't excited. Football's going to be back in less than a month. It feels like football weather out there. Hopefully, once the team takes the field, things change. We'll see. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks for listening. Peace.